Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party podcast abroad. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing?
You're still in Toronto, enjoying the sights and sounds of Canada. I'm back here, the dog. Perfect timing. Literally, we clap slated, and the clap woke her up. So I guess I'm doing fine. There's some drama around the house, which I regaled you. Our neighbor put a do not poop sign all around our lot and his front corner because our neighbor won't pick up her dog shit. That's the facts. And we're going to get blamed for it.
We are going to get blamed for it. And on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of your self-esteem, how do these dog poop signs make you feel about yourself?
I'm going to say pretty good. I'm going to give myself a 6 or a 7 because dogs howling in the background because I'm giving a 6. Because honestly, when I run into the neighbor, I'm going to be like, I'm glad you put them up. It's really annoying. I park on the street. I have to walk through it and pick up your dog shit for the love of God. Everyone should. It's rude not to.
Thank you.
When I take the dog even for like a hike and the dog's in the forest, I pick it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's just common courtesy.
If you're going to have a dog, be prepared to pick up a bit of poo. Thank you.
Yeah, it's mostly picking up poo.
Norm, do you miss me?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, listen.
Oh my God, what are like 10 to 12 reasons why?
Okay, well, no, these are the things I don't miss. You know what I mean? Being accosted.
I'm not accosting you. I'm trying to have the most romantic moment of my life.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, things here are popping off. The city, very warm, very muggy, and I'm loving walking around. I'm having a great time. Seeing some family, very needed, but mm-hmm. very emotional. Bit of a roller coaster. Don't mind if I do. One that I'm getting on and off every day. Hello, hello.
Yeah, and this is why we might not have... Are we having an episode next week? Maybe not. This might be a break for 2 weeks or so, or a week?
No, we are going to have an episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would never deprive the fans. I do have some exciting news, though. Speaking of fans,
let's hear it.
I officially met with the Self-Esteem Party unpaid intern, Emma, and she's fantastic. She is real, just to let everybody know. She is real. She's absolutely fantastic. And get ready for some great promo work, tasks, and a very funny email address to come. I'll leave that as a surprise, but get ready for that.
If you got catfished by an assistant, that would be unbelievable.
I'm not getting catfished. I just gave her my social security and called it a night. Also, we have some exciting news. We have a very fun convention coming up. You and I are doing BugCon.
I'm doing it.
And we are doing it on Sunday, August 8th, I believe. We're at the 5 p.m. panel Pacific time. For those of you who don't know what BugCon is, we don't either. I think it's some sort of a convention like a Comic-Con, but with Bugmane. And we don't know what the panel is going to be, but we think we're going to do a Q&A with audience members and listeners. So if you guys are looking for advice about self-esteem, self-love, or you have any questions for Norm or I, please DM us at Self-Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter, or you can DM me at Alana_Johnson on Twitter, at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram, or you can email us at selfesteemparty@gmail.com. Please get to us with any questions you have, any advice you're looking for, and we will answer it, and we will be recording the panel and releasing it as an episode. I'm very excited.
Also, we never ended up doing the hat toss. We should do the hat toss at BugCon.
Oh my God, the hat toss of 2021. Of course, we must. Yeah.
You should. This is, of course, if you don't remember, Alana claimed that she could throw a large hat, like a sun hat, that you could throw a hat and it would land on the invisible man. And yeah. I was like, well, that's impossible. You couldn't even throw a hat and have it land on my head. And we never ended up testing this fact. It's very similar to the chili challenge. But we will be doing it at BugCon. You will attempt to throw a hat on my head.
That's 100% what we're going to be doing. And again, we will be recording this episode and we'll see if we can get some visual footage of the hat toss of 2021. I got to tell you, Norm, I'm very excited for this week's guest. Her and I caught up before the trip. It was so nice. Perfect note to end on before I left. Okay. And she's a good friend. We were both very excited to have a chat with her. Let's get to it, shall we?
Yeah, why not?
Any other house updates that you need to let the people know?
No, the dog's howling at me now because the clap 5 minutes ago has. Can you hear that?
I can hear her. Okay, let's get
to it. What's wrong with you?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Phoebe Neidhart right after this break.
This dog's got problems. It's a self-esteem body.
It's a self-esteem body. Phoebe? Welcome to the podcast. It's disgusting. Honestly, if you want to leave, that's fine. I don't blame you.
Really erotic.
Yeah, thanks. It was a little bit sexy, a little bit like I was going to puke.
A little bit.
Let me get my glasses off here so I can see you, even though it's actually harder to see. So, how are you doing? Now that I don't know who's here, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay, you know what's coming. Scale of 1 to 10, in terms of your self-esteem, where are you at? What's okay? What's the number?
I think I am at about a 4 right now.
I love that because 2 weeks ago with a guest, Jake had established, I think, that 5 is fine. And I would put okay under fine. Like when somebody texts me and is like, how are you doing? You know, we normally say good and you. If I'm not doing well, my hint is that I say okay.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, okay actually means I am incredibly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like that. I do the okay. So I appreciate that you called it a 4 as opposed to a neutral 5 because I do believe that would be a fine. But okay is a little less. Okay. What brings us to that 4? What's popping off? What's going on that's got you okay?
Well, I think I was just thinking on the way over here, this time I'm normally in therapy. So
oh,
I
no.
almost
what have
wonder
I done?
If there's like a psychological, like, okay, this is your vulnerable hour.
Oh my God, and I got you? What a treat. This is like my dream come true. Please use this.
This is my therapy.
And we charge the same sliding scale for you to be on the podcast.
And you take insurance?
No. So, no, we're my therapist and we do not take insurance and I do not feel as much ease when I'm in a session. I'm actually quite upset that I'm paying so much money.
Just figuring out the dollar signs per
minute. Yeah, just calculating the whole time. So mad at him. Obviously not listening well. He fully makes a tea. Anyways, that's my therapy update. So you normally have therapy now. Did you always have therapy or was that, because I know a lot of people started at like in the pandemic started therapy. Were you doing it beforehand?
I have been in and out of therapy for maybe the last like 4 years, mm-hmm. I want to say. Mm-hmm. And when the pandemic started, I was not actively in therapy. And then halfway through, I was like, oh boy, we better strap in.
Dude.
And get somebody else to talk to.
Me too. I've been in and out since I was 13. I hate to break it to you. But I was not in it at the time. And then around like October, November of last year, I was like, this is insane. And no one I know can help because we're all the same. I know our therapists are... we're also experiencing the pandemic, but they're trained. You know what I mean? Like they have training, better coping mechanisms than we do. And it was like a mess. Did you find that you were like trying to turn to people and like it wasn't going well, or were you keeping it all in and then that's what wasn't going well? Like what was it?
I think it was both. Mm-hmm. I think I was going through some life transitions, like my aunt had passed away. And
I'm so sorry.
I was like getting married and like it was just kind of dealing with a lot. And I realized, you know, Zach is wonderful to talk to, but it was also like, I need somebody else that's just like a neutral person, because that's a lot to put.
A lot.
You can't put everything on your partner. It's just too much.
And he also has the same stress. It's like,
yeah,
when you're with someone, their family's your family, and he's also getting married, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you're both like,
Norm, we're just too in it.
Yeah, you're both too in it, and Norm and I have the same thing now, and even if it's like your specific bloodline that like whatever something's happening with, it's like you're still associated with it.
Yeah.
It's a one separation from like friends, right? Like you can feel for your friends if something's with their family, but like when you're dating that person or married to someone, it's like now they're yours. Like you marry into the family. You know what I mean? God, I'm so sorry to hear about that.
I mean, thank you. It was, I mean, gosh, all things considered, obviously, had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
I don't think it was easy for anybody.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I do think, yeah, the turning point of just having a professional to talk to has just been very essential.
So do you find, because you said you're like used to being vulnerable around this hour,
get me while I'm raw.
I'm going to start asking people when they have therapy and be like, ooh, that's the only time I can record.
Really, smart.
Just be a total bitch about it. And everyone's like, cool, I don't want to do your podcast. I didn't anyways. But do you find that like you're really good at kind of coming out and saying what the situation is right away? Or are you someone where they kind of have to pull it out of you a little bit more?
I think with my previous two therapists, they definitely had to pull it out of me. There was a lot of getting used to the format of therapy. Like, my mom is actually a therapist.
Oh my God, no way.
So I thought that the first time I went into therapy, I was like, I know what this is. Like, I know how to navigate this.
Yeah,
but I didn't.
Yeah, you just yelled at your therapist, you're not my mom.
And it didn't work. I don't know.
It's
why.
So weird. She didn't take it well.
But I think like there was a time period of just really getting used to it and getting comfortable with that one-on-one dynamic.
Yeah.
But I think with this therapist, I definitely feel like I'm more open with her and more willing to expose myself metaphorically, Alana. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. We brought Jesus into it. Your therapist's name is Jesus.
My therapist is Jesus.
Very cool. What kind of price are we paying on that here? What are we talking?
Millions.
I know what you mean though. And it's, I think, let me ask first, was it starting as in video sessions? Like, has it been just the video sessions the whole time?
That's the crazy part, is that I'm more open than ever, but all of this is over telehealth, which is wild.
Okay, so I have a theory on that, because I'm the same way with my therapist, and I get into it way quicker than I used to with other therapists, because something about the video chat feels a little more direct. Like when you're in person and like it's more meandering, like you're asking them, how are you doing? Like it's because it's more conversational because you're in person. But when it's like video, it's like when you call someone, you're calling for a reason. You know what I mean? It might not, I don't know if it's that way for you, but for me, because I noticed, I was like, wow, I'm like crying within 1 minute. Like, it's like, he's like, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm just throwing up. That's how I'm doing. But you know what I mean? I feel like I just get right into it. There's like no dilly-dally.
I think that's a great point. And I also think in video chat, I'm on my own turf. I'm not in their office, which I think sometimes makes me feel a little more like guarded for whatever reason.
You had to drive there. If the drive's bad, that can kind of mess you up, and anxiety and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's like, I'm so glad somebody else felt that way too. Cause I was like, is it that it was so pent up or something like that? But then I'm like, no, it's different for everybody, the video.
Yes.
And there's even some people where they had told me the dynamic shifted. They had started in person previous to the pandemic and then switched to video with their same therapist. And they had said it would felt a little different.
That I think would be tricky.
Well, I would imagine feeling a little disconnected, because I did start in person and it was easier to meander and be like, oh, how are you doing as well? Right. Which like, you're not really there to talk about your therapist. I mean, mine used to love it. She was like, well, my kids are really acting up. And I'd be like, thanks, Kathy.
She's like, any advice?
Any advice? You're like, I've been here for 30 seconds. What are you fucking talking about? But yeah, that's like, I'm happy to hear that you're doing it, because it's like, why not? It's so hard. Everything is so hard, and like, to be okay is so hard. Yeah. Like, yeah. Can everyone just stop, and can we all discuss how hard it is? And like, even previous to the pandemic, it's tough.
I think that's honestly why I felt nervous to come. I was so excited to come on this podcast because I love listening to it. I think you have great conversations with people, and people are very candid with you.
Yes.
Which felt really scary right now, because I do think I have had a year and a half of like a lot of self-reflecting and self-awareness, for better and for worse.
Yeah.
And I think I just feel like I'm in such a like sort of messy place, and it feels scary to like, I don't know, like come on a podcast and be in that place. And
yeah.
I have this idea that like, oh, you can only show up and be recorded
yeah.
if you're like in a good, you know, like perfect spot or something.
Yeah, but so. That makes for like the worst episode. Just so you know.
Okay,
when someone's like, I'm doing great, I'm like, well, we're short on time, so enjoy your 10 out of 10. I've got to go. This guy's crying over here. He's something. I know exactly what you mean. First of all, thank you for fighting through and coming, because how nice to see each other anyways.
Yeah,
aside,
exactly.
We've been friends for so many years and met through UCB and performed on a team together and all this kind of stuff. So like, just as a friend, it's so nice to see you. But like,
agreed.
Half the reason why I'm inviting friends on here is so that we can kind of cut the bullshit and really catch up, like kind of right away
yeah.
and pick up where we left off. Because if the pandemic hadn't happened, I would be seeing you regularly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, you mean, and Carrie and Natalie hang out and this and this. And it's like, we would see each other. So it wouldn't have to be big updates, because you were kind of keeping tabs on each other the whole time. Now we all fell off the face of the planet, you know what I mean? It feels like, and our world shut down and everything. So I don't know what's going on with anybody.
Yeah.
And I feel very disconnected. I feel like my therapist making a tea during the video session, okay? I feel very disconnected. If my therapist ever found out, I trash him all the time. Bless him. You know, his profile says one name, and he did tell me to refer to him by another. So
wow.
That's on him. Yeah, he was like, actually, I go by this. And I was like, cool, put it on your profile. The who is this? Could be just like, anyway, he passes off the phone to his brother. That was my therapist. But yeah, so it's like, I'm happy to have people on here and cut the BS, like tell me what's really going on. And it can make you feel nervous. I'm nervous sharing my stuff. If like,
yeah,
you had sent me a really beautiful text after I had asked you to be on the podcast of, you know, kind of saying, I know it's a hard time and here for you and this and that. And I was really nervous, and you still might, I don't know, if you were going to bring anything up. I was very stressed out because I've the last little bit managed to do this podcast with only sprinkling bits of what's going on in my life because I'm also scared to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I do this every week. So I can imagine if you said like, if you're not used to coming out and talking, that it's like, it could be very jarring. And like, you know, I'm not going to ask you what's the worst part of your life or something, cause that could be hard to discuss, but it's like, I definitely would love to know, like, you had said that you'd been doing a lot of reflecting and stuff. Like, what were some of the realizations that you had that you are willing to share? Like, what was that like going through that? Because I know it can feel, well, it is self-reflecting, so it can feel quite isolating.
Yeah.
Because it's about you, just with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's less about, like, the specific realizations as much as when you're spending a lot of time. Like, I think this year, many of us were separated from the things that we value as part of our identities so much.
Yes.
In our industry shut down.
Yeah.
My like home situation right now is like feeling in flux, like a lot of destabilizing elements that
yeah.
I think kind of make you confront parts of yourself that you like and parts of yourself that you don't like.
Yeah.
And I think, it's just been a process of, I think, like, being in therapy. I literally had a session the other week where I was like, I just feel like I have no sense of when I'm going to get to a place where I feel like I'm solved or something. Oh my God. And like, yes. Even though I know that's ridiculous,
but,
and like
but
not
stable
the point.
Even switch yeah. out stable for solved. It's like, yeah. it's the same. It, yes. I know where you're like, I just want it to be stable. I don't even need to be happy. Yeah. Just keep it one level for a week.
Yeah, not having like all of these external things sort mm-hmm. of like, I don't know, just so much reacting to things that are out of my control.
Yeah.
And I think like I have just been slowly coming to terms with the fact that there is no essential higher me. Like there's no perfect person living inside of me that just needs to be like chipped away
yeah.
and like found. Like we all, my therapist says this all the time, like we all contain all these different parts of ourselves that we decide are good or bad and are really neither. Like we just have, we contain multitudes.
Yeah.
And learning to accept and embrace those parts of ourselves feels like really what the process is. And I think I'm just like very much still in the middle of that.
Oh my God. This, you're blowing my mind with this description of higher self, like the chipping away to find the perfect you. And I feel like I really relate to that. And I feel like this pandemic has been hard for, you know, the majority of people because we're learning things about ourselves, but as adults, and you think you know yourself very well, but then something terrible happens and the world shuts down, and now you're about to learn a real lesson on how you cope with stress, exactly. or how you cope with anxiety, or how you cope with separation. And like, I think a lot of people realize they're very codependent on their friends.
Yeah.
Or they maybe didn't have enough value in family. And then when that was taken away, they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize how much I kind of pushed you guys to the side. Little things like this could be anything, obviously. But that idea of thinking there's like a better version of you inside, I struggle with that. And it can be as small as like, if I lose this 10 pounds, I'll be better. Or if I book this job, it'll be better. But then it's like, well, I don't want to be a bitch. Neither's happened. But the 10 pounds are a go, all right? And in terms of the job, I said no to Hollywood, as we know. I go quiet. That's what I say when they come. I just absolutely refuse. I have to do the podcast once a week for an hour. So yes, I'm busy. Thank you. but that's like, that's tough. And it's like, did you find, okay, so here's something I want to know. Getting married at this time, right? Because Norm and I eloped a few months before and then the shutdown had happened. But
yes,
we eloped. It was like we were having a laugh. And here's the photos of us in Vegas. And you can see I'm literally laughing at a photo. Yeah, here I am laughing. as you can see, I'm having a great time by myself. No one else is laughing. So, but what was that like having to get married and not – getting married in a traditional sense? Like, I don't know. I mean, what did you guys do? And was any part of you sad about that? Or because a lot of people postpone weddings, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what was the situation?
Yeah, I think we decided that we wanted to get married like last July, and we got married.
Wait, July 2020?
July of 2020. So like 2020. We decided during the pandemic. Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't know. Like, you know how some people decide, but then it's like a bit of time, like quite a bit of time passes or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't like get engaged. We were just like,
yeah.
We kind of both at the same time realized that that was a step that we both wanted to take together. And
I don't remember anyone asking my permission, but okay.
You must have missed that phone call.
I missed the call, yes. That's what happened. I thought it was your mom, and I went, I don't need the advice.
We did think it was important to get your permission. We thought it was. We do regret that.
Yeah. And it's weird, I gave both of you away. I don't know. It's like I walked down the aisle and I turned around, walked back up, got the other one, walked down. Okay, so anyways, July was, you came to an agreement
we
that this was
an
something.
Agreement, and okay. Then we knew that What's weird is when I picture eloping, and I don't know what your experience was. I'm curious to hear. Like, I pictured you decide you elope, and then you elope, like, the next day or something. Yeah. Like, I didn't picture having months in between, because we didn't actually elope until October, because that was the soonest that we could. We wanted to go to Big Sur, and that was the soonest that we could, like, go to the place we wanted to go to.
Ours was 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because we couldn't get to Vegas any sooner because of work stuff.
Yeah.
So we also based it on just literally a schedule of, like, as soon as we can go, we will go. And it just happened to be 2 weeks.
But I mean, two weeks sounds great. I think both
of us
realized.
Not telling anyone.
Yeah.
Is
intense, right?
Oh my God. It was a total nightmare not telling everybody. And one of my friends got married and I didn't tell her.
Oh my God.
I still didn't tell her. Until the day of, I called everybody at 6 a.m. because I was so stressed out they were going to be mad at me. And guess what? I was right.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. I mean, are you somebody who keeps things private from family and friends usually? Okay.
But I get in trouble for it a lot. And it really hurts people's feelings.
I mean, it is a big one.
It's a big one, and it hurts feelings because they care. So it's like a beautiful reason why.
Yeah.
But of course, because they want to be there. Of course they want to be there. Why not? To hear my name said wrong for 4 minutes straight during the ceremony in which there were absolutely no vows. I keep trying to ask Norm to renew our vows because we never had them. So it would kind of just be a moment of silence, if I'm being honest. But he won't do it. So any ladies out there with advice, send it my way.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but unofficially engaged July, but then couldn't get out to Big Sur till October.
Yeah, and I think, like, that was the part that I would say was the most uncomfortable for us, was just keeping it from people that long.
3 months.
Because I'm not really a... Like, if I have a secret that I need to keep, I can keep it. And this was a situation where it's like, we don't want anyone coming with us because it's literally too dangerous.
Yeah, but if you tell, they're going to.
They're going to. If we say anything to either one of our families, they're going to want to figure it out. And we just knew we didn't want them to do that. So we didn't tell them until the morning we were getting married.
Oh my God, you pulled an Alana and Norm!
We did!
Oh my God, because then they can't get there in time.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm so happy to hear somebody else did that. I was getting such shit for it, and I was like, well, what would you have done? Like,
I mean, I think that's the only way. If that's what you truly want, then you just have to do it.
If you truly don't want a wedding, if you truly, or like, it's not that you didn't want a wedding, but safety and this and that. So you're like, this is what is for the best. For me, I knew I would get too stressed out. My family asked me years ago not to have a wedding. After my brother's wedding, my mom was like, we don't think you should have a wedding. First of all, I'm not even dating anyone. Second of all, I was like, why? And she goes, we just don't think you can handle it. And I was like, very cool. Love you too. Thanks for your vote of confidence. Like, so rude. So you called everyone the morning of. What was the reaction? Whose family reacted how?
Well, honestly, they both reacted very well. I think both of them thought it was a joke at first.
Oh, no! Oh, my God. Well, you're both comedians.
And I think we're both, like, pretty close with our families and don't usually keep secrets from them. So it was definitely, like, my one rebellion.
this was your one rebellion starting a beautiful life with somebody. Very cool, Phoebe.
We showed them.
I'm so glad we got to catch up so I can keep hearing about your bad girl self. Just the Phoebe I remembered.
Let's just say I've changed.
Let's just say. Okay, so we all are having a bit of a laugh about this.
Having a bit of a laugh. And then they were very happy. I think after the fact, my mom and my family definitely felt a little bit of sadness over not being there, which I genuinely do feel. That's the part I feel the saddest about, just because I do recognize that weddings are not entirely for the people getting married.
Almost not at all.
Yeah.
Like, literally almost not at all.
And, like, I definitely, you know, I think rituals are important. I think they're beautiful. I love going to other people's weddings. But actually, I mean, maybe similar to how you are with party planning, like, that stuff is very challenging for me.
Not for me.
I do not become my best person.
No.
Like, I don't think, I don't know. I think in a weird way, I don't know. I hate, this sounds gross, but I do think like the circumstances of the last year in a very weird way enabled us to get married in the way that was like best for us.
Yeah.
So
I don't think, I think that's beautiful because it happened the exact way it was supposed to happen. And it's a bit of a silver lining where it's like half the reason why you guys probably even, well, you guys were already dating for a while, but I'm sure one of the reasons why you guys came together and were like, this is, sounds right, is because you were through some real shit together.
Yeah.
And had already been through stuff before, even previous to the pandemic. But it's like, when you really go through stuff, like when you really go through it, you're like, oh my God, I now understand you're essential in my life. Yes. I like, and your wedding is about you too. And for you guys to be able to do it in this Big Sur way, it's like, first of all, you didn't have to have the stress of endangering somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's like, imagine if someone fucking got COVID. Like, you would never forgive. You would never forgive yourself.
No.
You would never forgive yourself. No. Obviously, why would you? You know what I mean? But it's also like, sometimes when you have these big weddings, and to everyone out there that had a big wedding, you were wrong. Sometimes when you have these big weddings, the idea of you two coming together is a little lost because when you're in your relationship, you're not in your relationship and dating your family as well. It's like, right. No, it's just you and them. It's just the two of you or three of you. Hey, let's party. So it's just the group of you potentially. And that's what it's supposed to be about. So I never understood why anyone would want to share that. Like, I never got it.
Yeah.
I mean, a pretty dress, sure, but you looked great. So it worked out.
It is a strange thing of, like, it's a very intimate ceremony, like, to choose to, yeah, I don't know, like, commemorate the union of two people. But then there's also this other side that's, like, almost performative. And, like, I think that's a big thing, too, is just both of us like being creative people, and that involves performance and that kind of stuff. It felt like we wanted this to be the opposite of performing.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way with why Norm and I wanted to elope, because first of all, if we were planning a wedding, I'd have bailed. I almost bailed on eloping because I was so overwhelmed.
Even that is, I almost bailed. Like, oh shit. This is like, even dipping a toe into that world is like, oh my God.
Our appointment, and it was an appointment, was at 7:30 to get married. And we were there, and it was like, it was 7:30 and they hadn't started the ceremony yet. They had already done 31 by the time we got there that day. It's no messing around. Yeah. It's no messing around at the chapel. Okay. But I was like, looking at the phone and at my time, and I was like, God, what's taking so long? And Norm was like, chill out. And I was like, you chill out. Like, I was like, I went mental. And it was like, I mean, we're talking the difference of maybe 2 minutes, and I was like, oh my, okay, forget it. Let's just forget it. Like, because I don't know. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. And it worked out, but it seems crazy. Like, when you're saying well, we didn't say vows, but when you're like repeating the fake Elvis impersonator, you're like, oh my God, this is like a lot, and I'm about to do this. And you see so many movies where they get out runaway bride right in the nick of time, and you're like, oh, where's the horse to jump on? And then it's not there, and you're like, fine, I'll get married. And that's how a wedding goes.
You don't have a ride, you get married.
You don't have a ride. Yeah, most people, if their Uber doesn't come, they get married.
Just a gamble.
Oh my God. Hey, speaking of rides, yeah, the siren's going here. Why not?
That's me.
Well, that's me. Bye, guys. I guess I'm going to marry somebody else then, because that's not my ride. Wow. Oh, I'm taking that one and I'm running with it. That one's great. So a little bit of sadness, but everyone got over it. Like, nobody held on anything, did they?
I don't think so. I mean, I think someday it would be nice to do like a dinner or like some kind of mini celebration that involves our families.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it was fine. Like, Zach has two older sisters who have had weddings. My sister has had a wedding. So it's like, I don't know. I think neither of us were like, we have to give this experience to our families. Like, they've never had
Had it. Yeah. It's not like, you know, he was the oldest and like this was their one shot for the wedding.
Right.
It's also too, I'm going to say this. Listen, to the people out there that, you know, one day want to get married but don't want to have a wedding, here's a little trick. When you go to someone else's wedding, the bride and groom are up there. When they say, I do, turn to your partner and each of you quietly say, I do as well.
Turn it
turn it into your wedding.
Nothing people love more.
When I officiated Holly's wedding, which was like a huge honor, I was so excited to do it. I was like, okay, here we are for the wedding. I can marry anyone. Let's get the ball rolling. And I asked Norm if he wanted to marry me. He yelled, no. I was ready to have him come up because nobody said he couldn't marry yourself, right? I didn't see that in the rules. And I was like, yeah, he yelled, like, and he was like way in the back, like really yelled it. And I was like, fair enough. And like people felt bad, like the families that weren't like not comedy related or whatever, because it was a bunch of comedians and then family, right? And the rest of them were like so upset for me and felt like really bad, and like you could see they were like like their faces, they were like so upset about it, and it was like, I don't think, and then all the comedians are laughing so hard, so it was like, it was, now that I think about it, it was kind of like messed up for me to do that, and it took precious time, yeah, and it made it all about me, of course. My apologies, Holly. I'm so sorry about that. She took it like a champ. She
would
really
have loved to have seen that. It sounds amazing.
Honestly, how I didn't go viral on that is wild. It's like, that was a classic moment. But you guys are married now.
We are married
now. You're enjoying it. Yes. Have you guys felt at all, previous to getting married, but just during this time in the pandemic, have you guys felt a little up each other's butts? Like, we're really confined, like, have you felt confined or whatever, or were you like, oh, this is nice to have some additional time together, like, because I feel like I've heard both, like, I feel like some people were like, yeah, we got really close and this and that, and then other people were like, oh, you're not supposed to spend that much time with someone, it's an ungodly amount of time to be with somebody that isn't a baby you have to take care of and raise.
Yeah,
like, you know,
I just am overall so impressed that we didn't murder each other.
Yeah, dude, I had a couple attempts. Hello.
I think, like, I don't think I could have done it with anyone else. I don't think I could have lived with anyone else through this time and had it be good. Yeah. Like, we definitely, I think it did, it has brought us closer together. I think it made us more secure in our relationship. I'm not going to pretend like we don't ever get annoyed with each other.
Of course.
Of course we do.
Of course. And if you said you didn't, I would edit it out.
I would be glad.
I'd be glad and be like, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. That made her edit the episode and that's annoying for her. And as we know, I don't edit it. Norm does. We know this. So even now you're making it even worse. Poor Norm.
Norm, all this has to go.
But yeah, annoyed at some points, obviously.
But overall, like, yeah, I think it has been, yeah, I'm glad it's him. I'm glad that we went through this together. I think it is just asking a lot of any two people to spend this much time together.
Like, could you imagine if just having, I've thought about this so many times, if you had a roommate, like your friend or something, I can't imagine what that situation would be like. If, for the listeners out there that had a roommate and it worked out, please DM me and tell me how, because I've had roommates and I loved them, but I definitely was like, okay, see you. I'm going to go here and this is my time away from you and I don't have to be near you. You're just a roommate. Whereas like when it's a couple, you're like, we have to be together. Let's figure it out. But a roommate, I would just move out. Like
100%.
How can you possibly cope with that? Like a stranger, truly a stranger in your house.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Like I feel for people that had roommates if it, you know, if it's not like a really close relationship or a good functioning relationship, or maybe you guys have different hours or something so you're not on top of each other or something like that. But like to not be working both in the house, like, when Norm and I both weren't working, like, before the football season started or whatever, it was like, oh, my God. And he's so patient. It was me. And just so everybody knows, it was me causing all the problems. And,
I feel like
and Norm, edit this out. Too. Yeah, Norm, edit this out. Okay, please. But you know what I mean? I'm the problem.
I mean, that fully resonates with me because I think, I mean, we both value our alone time and I think are pretty good at like, you know, being okay with like, this is time where we're in the house together, but we're separate or this right. is time when we're in the house together and we're actively doing something together. But I think my threshold for, I just like really value my personal time and space.
Yes.
And sometimes my annoyance level is just like uncalled for.
Oh my God. It's like, I need to be alone because I am certifiably insane. And I need to like have that time to sort out my thoughts and literally ask myself, what is real and what have
yes.
I made up?
Like yes.
truly
yes, yes.
what is actually happening and what is my perception of it that I have told myself is happening?
Right.
And, but when someone else is here doing that, it's like poor Norm. It's just me walking around going, what do you mean you don't like the towels? Does it mean like, I'm sorry, were we in a conversation? Like just me storming into a room about towels. The poor fucking
and another guy. Thing.
Another thing about the towels.
I know that's something that I feel like is also, well, it's so easy for me to like say I'm working on it in practice. It's so hard, but like, yeah, I think my default sometimes is annoyance, and that's right. actually just a way of me not dealing with whatever is happening underneath that.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of times when I react with annoyance to something, I think I'm usually just like very afraid.
Yeah.
or really sad. And I don't, it's again that thing like goes back to like, yeah, like being scared to be on a podcast when I don't feel like I'm at my optimal self.
Yeah.
It's like I don't want to be seen a lot of times when I feel like I'm not in a good place. It's very uncomfortable
yeah.
for me to just say, I feel like a failure right now.
Why is that uncomfortable for you? Like, where does that come from?
I think I definitely, I mean, the perfectionist tendencies in me go way, way, way
yeah.
back. And I think the fear around not being good enough has just been in my life for so long
mm-hmm.
that I think it just, yeah, like at this point requires real awareness to break. Like, I think it's honestly from just like, you know, like being in 7-year-old and switching schools and like, you know, being like the new kid at a school.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so funny how
that
those,
stuff
like,
matters.
Childhood stuff.
Yeah.
Just, like, and you're like, when am I going to stop talking about when I was 7?
But
it's like, never.
Well, yeah, not as long as you're on this podcast. In fact, when I asked people how they're doing, I meant how were you doing at the age of 7? And I really got to start clearing that up.
Well,
and
now
I'm
we
sorry.
Can get to it.
Now we can, okay, we're gonna edit out everything we just talked about, and the podcast starts now.
Perfect.
I think that is very relatable because for those of us that struggle with perfectionism, I feel the same way, and you don't want to show a weakness or something, or you're going to like let people down. I think that's like a burden to carry, and it's,
yeah.
and it's really stressful. And it is so usually deep rooted in the past, like, because it's rewarded. Like in school, when you did well, you were rewarded. Your parents are more proud of you. You're not going to fail a test and your parents are like, we love you. It's like, they're going to be like, can we study please?
Right,
so it's
right.
like, but you do perfect. And everyone's like, your parents love share so much love with you. And like your teachers are praising you and you're like the example student in the class and this and that. So it's like the perfectionism is rewarded, and that messes me up, even with comedy, right?
Yeah.
Like killing a show, you're like, great, now every show has to be this show.
Right.
And you're, instead of being like, it was that specific audience that night, we got caught up in the magic. Yes, the material's good, but I can't recreate the same thing every night because it's always going to be new people there. To me, I want it to be the exact same. I want it to be always, even the podcast, I want every episode to be a club banger, or we really got into it, or oh, we cried, or oh, we laughed so hard, or oh, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, it is what it is. And they're all good episodes because they're all real episodes. But like, you just create these ideas in your head of what something is supposed to be, including what you're supposed to be. Like, what is it you, like, when we're talking about perfectionism and whatever, like, what does that look like to you? Like, what is the higher self Phoebe that you're chipping away at, or you were chipping away at, where we've sanded down now the statue and we're taking her as is for the time being? But like, what does that look like? What in your mind would be the perfect Phoebe?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the illusion, the fantasy of the perfect Phoebe is somebody who is number one in every area of life, like positively killing it on every level.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's funny because even when I was just thinking about this, like, even when you are in a place where you are doing super well in one area of life or many areas of life, the reality of how that feels in your body is not the same as how you fantasize about the perfect self. So you're really spending so much energy imagining a reality that doesn't exist either way.
Yeah, that you made up.
Yeah.
You just, like, when someone's like, I should have had this job, or I was supposed to do this. And I'm like, you just made up a goal. You just said, I'm going to be on Saturday Night Live. You just made it up. Nobody was like, this is your destiny.
Yeah.
No, or Lorne Michaels didn't call you and was like, you're going to be on SNL in 23 years. And you're like, got it.
Right.
To your 7-year-old self. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, and we can be so rigid about what the fantasy is. And
so
it's like,
rigid.
You can change. Like, this can be literally anything.
Like, one of my perfectionist things, speaking of it could be literally anything, is not getting so upset. So I'm saying a perfect Alana is semi-emotionless. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Interesting.
And that is messed up. But I get, like, you know, because I struggle with mental health or whatever, I am like, sometimes see that as a weakness if I'm having too much emotion, or what I'm calling too much emotion, and getting upset easily and this and that. And it comes with a lot of shame because I'm like, oh, I'm weak. I need to be stronger, or like, I'm bipolar and it's messed me up. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to feel better, and like, whatever. Mm. And that's such a scary and isolating place to be in. Like, The perfectionism thing, it's so hard, because if you told anyone else about it, like if we were sitting here not doing this podcast and you were like, oh, I'm terrible and this and that, I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, you're the best. So everyone around you is like, you're the best, because they do think you're the best. That's why they're around you, because they like you so much. So it's isolating because you're like, I'm the only one that sees it. They're all fooled.
Right.
And I'm the only one that sees my shortcomings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, we're recording. This is the real deal. All I can do is validate those feelings because I have them too. So who am I to tell you you're wrong? But then I'm like, no, but for real, I'm bad. Phoebe's good, but for real, I'm bad. Like, who am I? Right?
Yeah.
It's
100%.
Like, yeah.
It's just we like condemn ourselves without recognizing that we all feel these things all the time, and none of us are right or wrong or any of it. It's just, that's just what we are.
Yeah. And it's like, everybody has their own personal struggles. I'm not talking about like problems, like external problems of like, oh, I got to find this apartment, or like this other thing's happening and stressing me out. I mean, like internal struggle of like, who am I as a human being? And like, what is my point to be on this planet?
Yeah.
What is supposed to be this journey? And it's really hard when you have to face yourself in that way, especially now, because if you were to ask me if I won the pandemic or not, you know, just in case they're handing out awards, if you,
well, you lived, so I'm going to say yes.
Yes. It's like, but it's like, if someone's like, thriving, right? And I'm not saying you can't thrive. You can't help when things come to you. Right. The world could be shut down, but yeah, maybe you got your dream job. Like, you can't help that. But it's like, I would say I was really overall disappointed in myself in how I handled myself this past year and a bit. And now I'm working to try to see this time differently, in that maybe I needed this bit of a break from society because I had a couple things I needed to sort out. And when I was in it, I couldn't do it because I was too busy in my life and I couldn't just stop.
What makes you feel disappointed in how you dealt with the last year? Like, when you say that, what comes
to I feel mind? Like I didn't deal with it.
Mm.
Like, when the pandemic first hit, I stopped the podcast for 3 months because I was just like, couldn't deal.
Yeah.
And I was in avoidance and avoiding my friends. I didn't want to talk to my friends because I knew I couldn't make anybody feel better, and I knew no one could make me feel better.
Ugh.
So I took that step back, and then I feel like I'm really disappointed in myself that, like, and this is, listen, I know I'm wrong. I'll just say it right now, but I am disappointed because I feel like I didn't set myself up for success previous to the pandemic. Like, I didn't work hard enough to get further along in my career so that when things did start to reopen, I would be part of the first round of phone calls to come back. You know what I mean? You know, because they made those phone calls.
Well, they did make that list.
Well, they made the list, and then they did the automated call. And I thought it was about Social Security, so I hung up. But you know what I mean? And I was like, I've had this conversation with Norm. Obviously, he was not impressed with it. I don't think anybody is. But I was like, if I had worked harder, if I had tried harder, if I had done this, this, and this, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in. So I know I essentially was pressure. Being like, the last 15 years of my life were a fucking waste, is essentially what I'm like saying. And that's like so mean. And I'm even right now like getting really flustered inside saying it on the podcast, because I would never let somebody say this about themselves. I would be so upset with it to hear someone say that. But it's like, I don't know. Lately, I've just been kind of calling myself a bit of a loser, and it's like, it's not serving me.
I mean, I think you're speaking to something that truly, at least, like, everyone in this industry is for sure feeling.
Yeah.
Because I think it was such a blow in a way. And I think, you know, it's easy to stay busy pre-pandemic times. Even if you're not making, like, headway in your career, you can stay busy with auditions or things
shows
that sort of distract you from the fact that you're putting a lot of value on that stuff to confirm your own identity. And when that goes away, it's like, well, if none of that is there, then, like, who am I? What am I doing out here? Why have I spent all these years working towards something that I don't have a sure thing that this is going to work out?
Yeah.
I could not be name dropping my therapist more.
And here's the worst part. We've yet to get the name. So not only are you name dropping, you're doing a terrible job at it.
My amorphous, ambiguous therapist.
But what were they saying?
Well, I was kind of circling around fears that you're talking about right now the other week, and it literally took the entire session to come down to what my real fear was, which is, what if the things that I want most in my life don't happen? What if my dreams don't come true?
Oh my God. I'm having like a heart palpitation right now.
I'm sorry.
Like, no, because it really resonates with, like, I'm like, yes, this is verbatim stuff I'm saying. So it's like, so.
And it's like, we know logically, like, okay, if we can release a little bit of attachment to that, then we're making space for things that we don't even know, like, things good or bad that could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, we can't control the future.
I know.
But I do think, like, there is something to be said for, like, sitting with that fear and allowing it, like, it exists, at least in the back of my mind, constantly.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe it will take a little of the sting out if I'm willing to sit with it and feel it and know that, yeah, like, that is a very real fear for me. That is a part of me. And also, I'm still existing and there's still other parts of me.
Yeah.
And it's not the whole thing.
It's like you're setting yourself up for failure. Like, I'm calling myself a loser because I made a to-do list of, or a goal list rather, of career things I wanted to accomplish. And because I haven't accomplished them, I'm like, well, that must mean I'm a loser. But if I had just lowered the bar or changed the bar or made a different list that was like wake up by 7 a.m. I'd be a hero. I'd be like, wow, Lana, you're literally perfect. You woke up at 7 a.m. Look at you go. But because I made up what my career is supposed to be and my life, like, because this applies to life. For some people, it's to get married, to have kids, or have more friends, or I've always wanted to move to this place. Like, it can be anything, right? Not just like, oh, comedy in a job or something like that. That just happens to be like it sounds like a focus for both of us in this, that we've been thinking about this last little while. Oh, no, thinking about forever, but especially now this last little while or whatever, in terms of like a bit negative. But it's like, I love the idea of sitting with it, because you're robbing yourself of the joy of a new opportunity. Because say you told yourself you want to be a TV star. I'm going to be a TV star. I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to be on TV. And then someone offered you a movie. Instead of being like, oh my God, I'm in a movie, you'd be like, well, it's not TV. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't accomplish my goal. It's not TV. You know what
like,
I mean?
What are these, like, yeah, I totally agree. You know, my manager does this thing every year where she asks her clients to do goals. And they, over the years, have been structured in various ways. Sometimes it's like, can you make a goal for like the next 3 months mm-hmm. and 6 months and year and whatever, whatever. And this year, you know, we were doing this right in the middle of the pandemic, and I was feeling so like lost and like,
oh,
what
yeah.
the fuck are we doing?
What would you write
for?
Down?
Like,
yeah.
I don't even know if the planet will be here. Like,
yeah,
what
dude.
Are we talking about? And I think that it did like bring me back to the importance of, there's a difference between ego-driven goals
yeah.
and goals that are about you as a human being. And what is it going to take? I had to go literally, I could just only do a daily thing of like, well, I know I have to sit still. At
yeah.
some point,
yeah,
I have to like connect with my mind, or you know, meditate.
Something, yeah.
I have to connect with my body because I know that's important to me. I have to like go outside.
Yeah.
It was just like bringing everything back to a super basic level. And I think like there are many things I've learned over this last year, but one of the most important I think is just like you have to really just come back to yourself and get really, really basic, because everything else can fall away and all you can do is try to not abandon yourself.
Oh my God. It's like, I mean, this hit me like a ton of just lovely bricks because it was taken away, all of it. And for some people, like during this pandemic, permanently, you know,
yeah.
it's like, or we lost family members. We like all kinds of jobs, houses, like all kinds of stuff, you know. And I think the sitting with it is so important, because you have to ask yourself, if these things are taken away from me, some worse than others, obviously.
Of course.
What's left?
Yeah.
And because I put so much of myself and my career, when that was taken away for a period of time, Elena was gone. Elena was gone, because Elena was only comedy, and that was gone. He literally couldn't even do the podcast, like disappeared. And that's why I felt like a bit of a loser, because I was like, well, me without comedy is not worth anything. And it's like, I don't know.
Which is also I like fully in my body understand framing it like
yeah.
that, because of course that is so familiar. And at the same time, it's like, there's also a framing of you not doing the podcast that's like, I can't fake it right now.
Yes.
And isn't that cool? Like, do you want to have to fake it all the
time? I didn't want to do it. No, it was like, to me and everybody, you know, who was still doing shows or podcasts, of course, to each their own, obviously. But it was like, I couldn't bring myself to be funny or charming or honest.
Yeah.
With anybody, because my honest answer was, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And I wasn't far off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, I wasn't that far off. It got bad. But I was like, it's all of us. And then I, you know, then that thought when I'm, and that's not the only drastic thought, you know, there was lots of drastic thoughts we were all having and everything like that. And it, like, one of them was, I was like, I'm never going to be able to see my family again. Why did I move here? That was so selfish. I'm finally going home to see them. God. And I literally just got my passport and booked a flight an hour later. Because I was waiting because I became a citizen but didn't have a passport yet to apply for the passport. Everything's backed up, all this kind of stuff,
insane.
Right?
Yeah,
it's so insane. And I was like, just felt such a sense of relief where I was like, okay, it's okay that you live in California, Atlanta. You didn't let anyone down. You couldn't have done anything if you were home.
Yeah.
The people who were in the same city as their families did not see their families. Or if they did, it was like weirdly a mile away and throwing a grocery bag of food at them. Like, it was not normal.
No.
You know what I mean? It was really probably made people feel even worse than a FaceTime. You know what I mean? Like, the weird in person and being like so far apart and everything. So I just had to like, and then got my, you know, my family's all vaccinated and all the adults are vaccinated and everything like that.
Right.
So I feel very like fortunate that we can safely do the trip. But it was like, that was a big thing I struggled with throughout the pandemic, and the loser thing ties in because I was like, I moved here for work and I'm not working. So why am I here?
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is why I moved here 10 years ago, so long ago. And then I'm not even doing it. And then that's why I was like, I'm a total loser. I came here and I failed. And like, the big thing I would keep saying to Norm is, what if I was wrong? He was like, about what? And I was like, what if I was wrong about comedy and like, I actually can't do it? And it was like, I've done it. Yeah. So it literally was an outright lie what I said. You can Google my name and see the things I have done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I took all that away because it wasn't what I thought I should have done by now.
Yeah.
Which was be on TV and say no to a movie.
Isn't that where we should all be?
It seems like the only thing I want to do is say no to projects. It's like, at no point am I like, I'd love to do this. It's like, everything with me is what I don't want to do, which is like all these dream jobs. Like, all just, if anyone in the industry who can give me a job is listening, I'm in. Okay, I don't need your damn breakdown. I don't even need the date or time. I'll be there.
She'll do it.
I'll do it, and I don't want your filthy money. It's like, just taking it way too far. Oh my God. Okay. Phoebe. Yes, here we are. It's time for the end of podcast check-in.
Okay, wow.
You started at an okay 4. It was a vulnerable hour.
Yeah.
There is no, it was free of charge, so that should boost you a bit. But how are you feeling now? Because it wasn't, I don't consider this the happiest conversation. It was, you know, I mean, I called myself a loser. So it's like, it wasn't like the lightest of conversations. So I just, if whatever number you give is like valid and okay, because sometimes I wonder if I should even do the post chat check-in, because I feel like sometimes people feel a pressure to like feel better or something like that. But I just want to know what people feel. I'm like fascinated by it. So it's like, yeah, that's just my disclaimer.
I mean, I think it's good that you do the post-convo check-in, because at least we can, like, I feel sort of bad for the listener because there isn't exactly a quick resolution to what we were talking about. But I think I feel a 6 in that anytime I am able to connect with someone over mutual fears and just, you know, like get real with someone.
Yeah.
I think that makes me feel less alone in my own world of craziness or not craziness, just,
but just whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. So I think I do feel better than when we started, because I don't know. I think it's just affirming to know that we're all dealing with shit. And also, I just want to say, too, that, like, of course, was very privileged throughout this whole experience. I can't pretend like my livelihood was at any point on the line. And yeah. I know that's not true for so, so many people. So yeah. all of that, you know, it's important to zoom out, zoom in, zoom out.
Yeah.
Remember that overall, I'm a six.
First of all, I completely agree with you. Like, I was very lucky throughout this, and that's kind of like another thing that even played into the feelings that I had, because you're like, what are you so upset about? Your life's fine. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, a little bit where you're like trying to shake some sense into yourself, but emotions are emotions, right? And thoughts are thoughts, and they're going to come. And all we can do is, like you said, try to zoom in when necessary, but zoom out when necessary. And like, I didn't clock in at the beginning of this with any number. I know. I keep forgetting to do it because I'm like so excited to talk to the person. I get too excited. I immediately was like, how you feeling? Like, I can't control myself. I just can't control myself. But I will say I feel comforted. And I hadn't told anyone that I feel like a loser. And as much as I am teared up when I said it to you and am slightly choking up now, I'm glad I said it. And I don't know if I would have gotten that off my chest if you weren't here today. So I really appreciate you coming, because hearing myself say that out loud, I can hear how harmful it is.
Mm, yeah.
And because like, when I said it to you, your face like looked really sad and like upset. And I was like, oh, she had a reaction to this thing I've just been casually tossing around town.
Yeah, that you know, like, what I mean? can say that shit like that to yourself a million times a day and not even be like, that's mean.
You're doesn't even like, faze me. Real. Yeah. I'm like, hi, I'm Alana Loser Johnston. Like, it doesn't even faze me. But then you say it to someone else that you haven't seen in a while, and like when they look baffled or dumbfounded, you're like, oh, I guess that's like not usually part of me, so it sounded a little weird. It's like me having an alcoholic drink and then at the end of the podcast going, anyways, I'm pregnant, see ya. It's like, you're like, wait a second. It's like a bit of a double take. Feels like, and honestly, if anybody's pregnant and wants to do that, that's hilarious. No, please don't. Yeah, so I will say I'm a comfort level out of 1 to 10. I am comfort, whatever number that is. Let's call it a six. Let's be twins.
Yeah.
Call from now on, 4 is okay, 5's fine, 6 is comfortable.
I love that.
I love this. Phoebe, I cannot thank you enough. Tell it. Do you want to give us your social media if anybody wants to go see your cute wedding pic or?
Sure.
It's cute. It's high pressure. It is high pressure.
Anytime I'm in this situation, I'm like, well, I should have chosen a shorter handle.
Oh, yeah. Your handle's very... Okay. Give it to us. Let's see.
All right. Let's see if I can make this make sense. My name is Phoebe Neidhart. My handle is Dweeby Nerdheart, a name I was called in high school and have since just taken right back.
It's like when we first became friends and I was trying and you were like trying to explain to me how to find you on Instagram, I was like, this fucking chick's out of her mind. Like, yeah, it's like, how is this supposed to be a casual name you're tossing out as if like, oh, I'm doing this, and then you like walk away and I'm like, what are you, like, how's anybody supposed to find you? Okay, if you guys would like to follow the podcast, we are at Self-Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnston and at Alana _ Johnston. Wait, at the only Alana Johnston on Instagram, sorry, and at Alana _ Johnston on Twitter. Phoebe, I can't thank you enough.
Wow, and Dweeby Nerdheart was complicated. Yeah, okay. Oh,
no, the name's not complicated. I'm complicating it. The name's not complicated, okay? Phoebe, I love you the most.
I love you so much.
Be a dear and stick around and wash your mug.
Okay.
Thanks. Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the Self-Esteem Party.
Hi, I'm Paul Bates. One day, I found a book in an alleyway, a really old book from Victorian England called The Pictorial Treasury of Famous Men and Famous Deeds. Its cover is beautiful, its language is flowery, and its tone is problematic. It's also wildly inaccurate and a little pompous. Nevertheless, it's the basis for my new podcast. Each episode, I share a chapter with a guest, and together we cut through the rhetoric, fill in the blanks, and look through a modern lens at this relic from the height of the British Empire. Join me on a trip through history about people you've probably never heard of and adventures that possibly never happened. This is the Dubious Book of Famous Deeds, brought to you by the Sonar Network and available wherever you get your podcasts.